you today. Let me say something to you that as a pastor, and you've heard me say it before, I unapologetically say it to you every time. And that is that when you have made up your mind about worship, your life will change. But as long as worship is always a struggle for you, your life will always stay the same, because you'll never come in and understand coming into His presence until you learn to worship. Worship is not something you do on Sunday morning. Sunday morning is a manifestation of what you do during the week. That's what it is. That's why that some people come in and they're victorious and they're happy and they're looking to God. And some people have issues and problems, but they still decide to worship because they know the only way out of their dilemma and their situation is worship. You can't come out any other way, guys. Amen? See, if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll get stuck in religion, and religion will have you stuck in form and rituals. But worship takes you out of form and ritual and takes you in to the very presence of God. And we struggle so hard. We think that through human knowledge, we think that we're going to find our way out of the issues and the problems in our life by trying to counsel them out. And you've heard me say this before, and I believe in godly counsel. God uses me in that form and that fashion. But I want you to know that coming out, until you have bought your own praise, until you have, I ain't going to quit praise. Until you have, I'm not going to give up praise. Until you have that praise that declares, I've been through the valley of the shadow of death, praise. I said, until you've been through the valley of the shadow of death, and out of it you found a praise. See, you got to understand, my praise doesn't come from a church. I wasn't taught to praise. I learned to praise in the darkest hours of my life. I learned that in the darkest times of my life is where I learned to praise and worship. That's where I learned to praise. Until we learn to worship our way out, then we'll stay stuck. Because we still are waiting for something. We're waiting. Yeah. Amen. How many people do you think stayed up last night waiting for the numbers to pop up, their number to pop up for the Powerball last night? Don't even raise your hand, because I know some of you did. Amen. Man, there was all kinds of promises on Facebook. Hey, if you go on with me here, I'll share it with you. Like, if I do this good enough and I won't act greedy, somehow God will bless me with this Powerball. Huh? Guess what? There wasn't one. I thought it was Schumer's. There wasn't a winner last night. Said, oh, Pastor, what I could do for the kingdom of God if I had all that money. Amen. People were saying that too. Well, if I had all that money, look. You struggle being generous at this point. Let me tell you something. When you have all that money, it's a real aid to forget everybody else. You got that kind of money, you can just build a house and build a big old fence around it and don't have to worry about nobody else. But I want you to know that money, no matter how much that you may have, that's not going to change your heart. That's not going to get you out of the dilemma. Money is not going to get you out of where you're at. The only thing that's going to get you out of where you're at is your worship. Your worship takes you into the person who knows your beginning from your end. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen. I want you to know God already has an answer to your problem. Oh, this is not my message this morning. You need to be careful. I said God already has an answer to your problem. He is the author. I said, He is the author and the finisher of your faith. You keep waiting for God to finish something. God's already finished it in the heavenlies. What you have to do is you've got to get into a place where you can hear what the finish is in your life. But as long as you stay there and say, I can't, as long as you stay in the same place and say, I won't, as long as you say, this is what I believe, You'll be trapped. You don't have to be a theologian to be a worshiper. You just got to be hungry for His presence. Are you hearing me? Amen. How many took your Xanax this morning? Amen. Amen. All right, turn with me to 2 Timothy. Come on, turn to somebody and say, Pastor loves us. Even when I act like I'm not saved, He still loves me. Amen. In 2 Timothy, look here with me, because we are doing a thing, and I want to finish today on this, the thought that I began Wednesday, Word of God. Why do we do what we do? Why do we pray the way we pray? We're going to enter, you know, sprinkle with this, but we're going to save this. Want to know what we believe. So this is going to be an excerpt in a library that I'm why we do what we do. People want to know why we believe why we believe. Why do we tithe? Why do we give offerings? Why do we come here on Sundays? Our Sabbath on Saturdays. Why do we do that? Why do we come here, gather as a group? I'm going to be talking about all those things this year. I want to establish us, and we want to be able to be faithful to that. In 2 Timothy chapter, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom, continue thou in the things which thou hast what? Learned and been assured of. It's here about teaching in your life. Is you need to be careful who is teaching. The things that we are unsure of is because we have got some teachings in our life, dead works. I said they're dead works. And we need to repent. Key components that we're going to learn. And let's finish the scripture here before I get ahead of myself. And so here he says, which are able to make thee wise. Look what it says here. The word of God is able to do what? Salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Here he's telling us that literally what the word about my salvation. I mean, I want you to understand these are some, we've heard them preach. But I want you to know that the word of God has got to be more than something that I hear in me. Not just something that I hear that I am associated with. It lives and exists in my heart that I may learn to speak that word out of my life. Causes me to be wise, makes me wise unto salvation. Verse 16, all scripture, everybody say all scripture, is given by inspiration of God. How does everything come? We ask the question, by inspiration. God creates inspiration by an atmosphere. I like what Bishop said. Amen. If you're going to talk about losing your dog, losing your wife, losing your truck, lonely dark bar someplace, it didn't come out of a happy place. And murdering, and you're talking about rebellion, those things don't come out of rejection. They come out of an atmosphere of frustration. They come out of, so when an atmosphere is created, when art is created, it's created because of an atmosphere. Music and penned it and put it on paper. Are you hearing me today? And when that music is, it creates an atmosphere. But that self-same music can be then given all around the world. And they can still play those notes and create what? The same. So the atmosphere is what is emphatic. And in it, he says right here, by given by inspiration. God created an atmosphere for men to be able to hear His word. Are you hearing me today? In all circumstance, not just in faith filled, but in every circumstance, God created an atmosphere to bring forth. What I want you to understand is this, is if you want your life to change, if you want your life to change, if you want your life to change, you have to learn to create an atmosphere. You have to learn to create a different atmosphere in your life. I know that there are sound with them. How many has that kind of person that comes in your sad story? They're bringing depression along the way. And they have it. Why? Because there has been this and hurt and bruising that has happened in their life. And they have lost faith. They have lost hope. There is nothing there. So they live in an atmosphere. Amen? To change the atmosphere. But let me share something with you. You... greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. But as long as you keep your mouth shut, as long as you do not learn God, as long as you don't speak the word of God, the moment that you come into agreement with somebody's pain, the moment you come into agreement with somebody's anger, that atmosphere, prince and the power that is in the atmosphere between heaven and earth is the prince. And I am not trying to glorify him. I just want to educate you to know is this, that is above you, by coming into agreement with the spirit of the world. The thing and of your home is the very word of God. I thought changes the atmosphere. Worship is your mouth filled with the word of God. Needs to help me in the house this morning. I said somebody needs to help me in the house this morning. That even though that my life may be at the worst time, it may be in its darkest moment. In the darkest moment of my life, I begin to raise my voice in the word of God, and light begins to come to every situation and circumstance of my life. He loves for you to be quiet. He loves for you to be silent. He loves for you to keep your lips close and parched together. Amen. He doesn't want you to be in agreement with the things that will change your life. He wants you to stay depressed and angry. He wants you to stay resentful. He wants you to stay. Look, I cannot tell you how many times me and this little woman right here have had disagreements. I know that's hard to believe, but it's true. There's times I've come to church and just frustrated, not necessarily because of her. But I can tell you there are times to where that because of circumstance, because that warfare is there. And that is there in my life. And I can tell you, all the petting and the patting on me ain't going to do a jack. You can pet and love on me all you want. But I can tell you, when she takes my hand, when she takes my hand and she begins to declare the word of God over me, I want you to know the darkness and the dissatisfaction and the frustration have to dispel. Why? Because the light of God's word pierces through the darkness of any situation in your life. Keep your mouth shut and keep your situation as it is. We think to ourselves, well, Pastor, I'm not coming into agreement. I'm just stating the facts. Isn't that what it is? What you have to decide in your life is not what you see. Because the Bible says to me, the thinking you're the same old person. You keep thinking you're the same human being that you've always been. That's not true. The Bible says you have become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. That means the old ways you talked, living there, you're not acting that way anymore. Amen? Don't raise your hands, but how many have people in your life? Two people are at the worst time of your life. God and the person or people you demonstrate. Oh, help me, Jesus. Aliens, religious aliens have come and sucked my church out. Do you hear me? People, don't forget. They forget the good you've done. You could have done 10 good things. But the last thing they saw was your negatives and your ugly. You know, that little fit you threw, throwing the cat through the screen door and putting your hand through. Oh, I know none of you are like that here. They heard what come out of your mouth. Say, Pastor, I was so sorry. Well, I want you to know something is this. God was there at the same time. And you got to realize is this. I know as much as you need to realize the enemy keeps. God, forgive me for my mouth. Forgive me for my act. God forgets your ugly. If you're being reminded of your past mistakes, it's not God trying to bring it up to your life. It is the enemy of your life that is trying to bring it up. But when you have the Word of God that is solidified in your life, when you have the Word of God that is established in your life, when the enemy, and he wants to begin to tell you what you're not and what you were, you can raise up a standard. A man is dead. That man is gone. And now what you have standing before you today is a brand filled with the Word of God and who is filled with the faith of God. And what you're hearing out of my mouth right now, I'm a brand new creation. When that begins to come out of your mouth, you will despair. Amen. So here, he tells us, Gene, it can be bad doctrine or good doctrine, but it's still teaching. Amen. That is reproving who you are in him. For reproof and for correction. Amen. I know some of you got that scratched out, that little hole right there in your Bible where you've, that word's still there. You can scratch it out, but it'll still be in your Bible. You say, how do you know, Pastor? Because it's in my Bible. And I've got the King Jesus Version right here in front of me. The KJV. Amen. I know. Someone. King James. For reproof and for correction. For instruction. Correction comes easier as correction cannot be given without relationship. See? You can't give correction to somebody you don't have relationship with. Amen. That's they know your life. Amen. Come on, raise your hands. You know it's true. And so, see, here's the safe part. That's why some people never strive to have a relationship with pastor. I'm a pretty good judge, you're saying, of character. You get close to that guy, he's going to get up in your business. I just have that real strong feeling he's like that. Relationship, I don't try to correct people. Because it's foolish. They won't receive it. Won't hear it. And his word's always right. But see, the problem is that you can't correct somebody you don't have a relationship with. Because here I want you to understand something. You can't correct somebody that doesn't already have the Word in them. Because if they don't have the Word in them, they can't hear it. It's brand new to them. You may be the first one to bring along into them and show them and reveal them. But until the Word is in them, that they can grow that Word up in them, that you can't change. That's why I have a long message. The Word has to get in you and grow. That way the Word agrees that's being preached. How many hears what I'm saying to you? Amen? So how many love ice cream? Raise your hand. Ice cream. Huh? You like ice cream? Do you like ice cream? Raise your hand. Thank you very much. I don't know where you're going to take this. Cream in common. Then it's easy to talk about ice cream, isn't it? Amen. Because it's going to be difficult to come into agreement if you disagree with ice cream. But here's the other side to ice cream. Not everybody likes the same flavor. But guess what? There's really no difference. Most of it's food coloring anyways. It's still what? Ice and cream. Like strawberry. Some of us like chocolate and others like vanilla. And others like all different kinds of flavor of ice cream. But still ice cream. You come from different flavors of life. All of you come from different flavors of life. But you all need to realize is this. You have the same Christ that lives on the inside of you. You may not agree with everything I do, but agree with the Christ that's on the inside. Should come amen, because in it, it will come in agreement and light will come to your life. This is the truth. And for instruction in righteousness, that the less... Is it? It's talking about what? It's talking about you and me. It's talking about all mankind. That the man of God, good works. So if we want to be profitable, if we want our lives to be profitable, if we want our lives to be full, it's in my life. Here is what I want you to understand is this. Look at that scripture again. Reproof. Everybody see it? The Word of God, that is that God will take you through and He will show you the arrows that have been made you the new and the right instruction to send you on your way. Some of us think that what God is most interested in is that God is just mad at me all the time. We're talking about your boss. We're talking about God. See, God is not captured with the fact in it. Why? Because Jesus Christ has satisfied that part of Him. The living Word, captive of God, is no longer on you. When He sees you, He sees Jesus Christ. He's more interested in how can I bring the fullness of my Son into your life to bring you to be new. Man, that would be a real revelation, wouldn't it, to some of us? To be joyful. Wouldn't it? I mean, you get up in the day, it's like, get up in the day, the whole day, I got to work. I understand that mentality. You are so wrong. Said, your mentality with to see my love and see my joy. The world is looking for answers. And they're looking for somebody who been depressed, and you'd come right along with them. Unstable jumps on all the terrible things. Yeah, I know, we live in a rotten society in America. And all of a sudden, you have now, what? You have let the atmosphere that is there, the Word of God has taken root in your life. The Word of God will become alive. You just got to let your mouth say, yeah, I know that, but I believe that God has control in heaven. He's still the sovereign God. All you have to do is begin to... Amen. One, the atmosphere changes because that I allow the Word of God to be prevalent in my life. You don't have to go here. But in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed are those who hear and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. If you don't have the Word of God hidden in your heart, no wonder circumstance is overtaking you. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, I mean, I don't have time. I mean, to study and to do it, and I haven't been that person. And can I share something with you? If all you ever get in your heart is John 3:16 until you learn something else, it's more light and more power in that one word than all the darkness of hell combined 100 times over. Because whatever Word of God that is in your heart, that for God so loved me that He gave His only Son for me, that I would not perish, but that I would be saved. When you have that Word hidden in your heart, it doesn't make any difference. That means that if God loves me, He doesn't want me to be sick. He doesn't want me to die. If that is the case, that God loves me, He doesn't want me poor and broke and struggling in the blessing all the time. If God so loved me that He gave Himself for me, then God has something greater for me than I've ever imagined. Don't you see that one scripture alone can take you 1,000 different roads in your life? It's not about how much you memorize, but it's how much you believe. He said you must believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. For years people thought, well, I'll just confess it until I believe it. No. You believe it, and then you confess it. See, God is about believers, not confessors. But if you believe it in your heart, it's enough. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, the Word of God is, than honey from the comb. By them the word is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Psalms 19:9-11. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Matthew 7:24. He replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Luke 11:28. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Psalms 19:7. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. John 14:23. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Said, do not let the book or the word of the Lord depart from your mouth. Are you hearing me today? Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be what? Careful to do everything written in it. Then, and only then, you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua 1:8. How many hears it today? It is, don't let these words. That's why we study the Word. That's why we read the Word. That's why that we read the Word every day. That's why when Jesus prayed this prayer, and I'm closing, Jesus prayed this prayer. He said, this is how we pray. When his disciples said, show us how to pray, Jesus said, this is how you pray. Our Father which is in heaven, holy, hallowed is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How am I going to get heaven to earth? You say, well, I don't really believe that. Then, like Bishop says, quit praying to go to heaven. Because one day you're going to have to, something's going to have to happen to take this physical body and change it to live in heaven. In the same context, if God is able to do that, how many knows that God is able, that in the heavens, God is able to bring that to the earth? How many knows that God has a ladder in our life? God has gates in our life. And those gates, our mouth is a gate. Our mouth is a gate of God. It is a portal of God. And when you learn to make your mouth a portal of God, you will create an atmosphere and you will create the presence of God no matter where your act. Amen. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked and stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. And whatever he does prospers. Wow. Wow. How, Pastor? Because he's learned to meditate on that word day and night. Oh, how God has spoken to me. When we are getting prepared to go into the fast, the 17th of this month. Some of you will not be able to do. I understand 21 days of fasting seems like an impossible dream. Some of you will, some of you won't. But I want to encourage you during this time to have definitive times carved out in your life. Literal times carved out in your life to where that you say, Pastor, not only am I going to fast food, I'm going to fast media. I'm going to fast television. I'm going to fast Facebook. I know some of you already are anxious on the inside that you would think I could be without Facebook for 24 hours. Lay your phones down. Stop texting for 24 hours. Fast your phone. Fast media. Fast television. Fast food. Fast those things that drive your life and control your life. Carve that out. Make this a holy time unto God. You want changes in your life. You want God to move dramatically in your family and in your home. Then Jesus spoke this word to me as this. These things don't come out except by prayer and fasting. And I want you to know that may sound old-fashioned to some folks. Fasting may sound old-fashioned, but I'm here to tell you today is this. Fasting is not getting the attention of God, but it's causing your attention to be towards God. It causes you to deny your flesh and deny the things that are distracting you away from God, and carve this time out to say, this is my turnaround. This is the place to where I draw the line in the sand and I create an atmosphere in my home, my life, my job, my family, my money, and I decide it all belongs to God. Let this be a time of worship unto God. A time that you carved out and said, I'm not going through another year like this. Oh, you're not hearing me. I said some people in this house are getting on the inside of them and they're saying, not another year. No, not another year. There is enough being offered right now in this house to deal with every area of your life. You have no excuses. You've used all of them up. I want you to hear something from a pastor's heart. You used them all up. Are you hearing me? It's time to put your money where your mouth is. It's time to pony up. It's time to be all in. It's time to push the chips to the center of the table. It's time to quit gambling on you and start looking to Him. It's time to stop with the flesh. It's time to quit exalting the flesh. It's time to quit living in the flesh. I can't. You're right. You can't. You can't live this life. You can't overcome it. You can't do it. But the one who lives on the inside of you can. Because the greater one is there. The hope of glory abides and lives on the inside of you today. And I still believe today that if we will get ourselves and put our knees on the floor, that we will begin to lay prostrate before the Father, that we begin to call out to God as we've never called out to Him before, that there's a desperation that comes from within that we've never had in our lives before. I want you to know, I know it sounds old-fashioned. I know it sounds holiness. But I'm here to tell you that we're in a moment, in a time of crisis in our lives, in this church, in America. And we need God as we've never needed Him before. You're not going to find it in money. You're not going to find it in a new job. You think, well, I'll move here. It'll all change. No, it won't. A wise lady said to an individual who thought by moving their life would change. She said, well, darling, you can move, but there's only one problem. You're not only moving your chairs and your tables, your stove and your refrigerator, but you're moving you with it. And you can run, but you can't hide from you. Hello. And the one thing I've learned, oh, I'll never forget, Eric. Oh, I'll never forget. I can still see myself sitting in that big U-Haul trailer, that big U-Haul truck, window rolled down, carrying behind me. Amen. Just going down the hall, raising my fist to the air. Saying, I'm finally free from you, you people. Oh, I just thought I was just, yeah. You ain't going to be able to torture me no more. You ain't going to be able to drive me nuts no more. I'm out of here. I've got my truck packed, my ticket paid. I'm out of here. But what I didn't realize, it wasn't all the furnishings that was in my truck that I was carrying. But I was carrying all the other junk in the front seat of that truck. Sure enough, unpacked the truck. But I also unpacked me. And you know what? Me still came out of the box. You can't run from you. You've just got to take you and face it to God face to face. How many saying, Pastor, this is a holy time that God's bringing us into? Come on, folks, I'm telling you, this is a holy time that God is bringing us into. This is a time between the altar and the weeping porch. This is a time of weeping. This is a time of repentance. This is a time of brokenness. This is a time of us calling out, believing God for the salvation of our families, the salvation of our lives, for the salvation of our bodies. Come on, stand with me today. There is a move that's coming. And there's a move that's coming to Wilkes County. God didn't bring me here to pacify. God brought me here because He knew that I was uncompromising in my belief system. Not because I was perfect. But I got to tell you something today. I'm hungry. I'm hungry for a move of God. I'm hungry to see souls saved. God gave me a vision on this altar. Of this altar filled with individuals crying out to God. Crying out to God, young and old. Bathing these steps with their tears. Of repentance and brokenness. Of joy. Of God setting them free finally. I wonder how many. Saying, Pastor. I want God to do it. I want God to do it. And I want Him to begin with me. How many want God to begin with you? You say, man, Pastor. I just don't know if He can. Yeah, He can. I tell people all the time. If God can do it in me. See, the problem is, you just see this pretty boy standing in front of you all the time. You just see this Adonis, this specimen of God, perfected, standing in front of you, preaching you all the time. And you don't know where I come from. You think Nightmare on Elm Street was scary? Then you should have met me when I was unsaved. See, God's brought me from a dark place. So I'm telling you right now that what God did for me, God will do for you. And if you're here today and you need God to do something special and significant in your life, now's the time. Now's the moment. Here is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. This is the accepted time. Come on, bow your heads here for a minute. I don't know everybody here personally today.